Welcome everybody. Today I was thinking of talking a little bit about death meditation. It's called Maranasati in Pali, the recollection, if you like, or the perception of death. I remember when I started reading the Buddha's discourses, what he had to say about meditation practice in general. I remember coming across the Buddha talking about death contemplation a lot. And I was initially a bit surprised. But I realized if the Buddha talked about this so much, mentioned it so often, it must be an important meditation subject, because otherwise he obviously wouldn't talk about it. So over the years, therefore, I contemplated death contemplation at least a little bit to make sure I tried to follow the instructions of the Buddha. That's why I want to talk about this today. So the most important thing, one of the things that the Buddha said about death contemplation, and also about contemplation of old age and sickness, is that it tends to take out the intoxication of the mind. It's almost as if the mind in ordinary states is intoxicated, because you forget that you're going to die, you forget that the body is going to get sick, you're going to get older. It's as if you act almost as if these things don't exist, because you forget about them. And that is like a state of intoxication. It's a bit like being drunk. When you're drunk, you forget about being nice and kind and moral. And this is exactly the same thing which happens if you forget about the fact of these more unpleasant things in life, such as death. It was for the Buddha, of course, it was very powerful. When he reflected on death, it led him to actually renounce the whole ordinary life and become a monk. So it became very powerful for him. He realized the pursuit of all these other things we normally pursue, they weren't really worth all that much in the face of the real facts of life, so to speak. So that intoxication abandoned him. And in the same way, we can do the same thing. If we recall death, these intoxications of all kind of problems we have in life, all kind of maybe negativities towards things, irritations, desires that we have for things, all tend to become so petty and small and stupid in the face of death. It doesn't make any sense anymore. And it makes the mind very clear, makes the mind bright, because you abandon these things which normally are hindrances to the mind. And this is, I find, maybe the most important thing with meditation. One of the difficult things with meditation always is to actually establish a state where you can start doing ordinary meditation practices, such as just watching the breath or any other thing you might want to do. To be able to do these things properly, you're going to have a good state of mind first. So the death contemplation is simply a way of abandoning those problematic areas in the mind which stop you from being able to meditate properly. So it clears the mind up and it makes the mind nice, workable, pliable, soft, and free of those hindrances which are always, always, very often tend to be there to some extent at least. So this is the power of the death meditation. So how do we do it? The Buddha said that, there's many ways, there's many kind of approaches, but the first one is to think, well, how far ahead should we sort of visualize our own death? And basically, here you have to experiment what you can do, what works for you. So you can start off with imagining that you're going to die maybe in a year's time, and see what happens if you're going to die in a year's time. Now, a year's time is still pretty far away, but even if you can do that in a good way, you will see that it actually does something to the mind. It takes away a lot of those things, plans and ideas and things which go beyond that, because very often we even think about things which go beyond a year. And even that will bring you more into the present moment. But then you bring it back closer and closer and closer to the present time, maybe next month, next week, tomorrow. And if you start thinking about dying tomorrow, then it starts to become quite powerful. Because if you really are going to die tomorrow, then obviously a lot of the things in life which you normally take to be important, which normally matter to you, all those things will pretty much fade away. And you will be left pretty much only with the present moment, basically. So at this stage, it becomes quite powerful, the meditation on death. But the Buddha said that you shouldn't even stop there. You should even try to make it even closer to the present moment than just tomorrow. You should bring it back maybe to next hour. You should bring it back even more than just in the next hour. You should bring it back actually all the way, said the Buddha, to the next breath. So if you can imagine dying at the next breath, then it's only then really that you are actually following the injunction of the Buddha to the maximum. Now that is quite difficult to imagine that you're going to die in the next breath. But if you can do it properly, well, you're really going to be in the present moment. And you know what it's like when people are really close to dying, they tend to become very calm and very peaceful, very contented. Precisely for this reason, because they have to give everything up. You know that when you're going to die, everything has to be given up. You have to let go of everything, your body, your possessions, all your angers with the world don't really matter anymore when you're going to die anyway. So if you're going to die on the next breath, what is there to hold on to? What is it that grasp onto? There is nothing here. So because of that, it can be very powerful. Obviously, there are obstacles for being able to do this, for being able to consider yourself as dying in the next moment. But one way of overcoming those obstacles, which I have sometimes used, is to tell myself, well, one day it is going to be tomorrow. One day it's going to be in an hour's time. One day it's going to be on the next breath. And if I'm not ready to die in an hour's time today, if I'm not ready today to die tomorrow, will I be ready when it actually happens? I have to be ready now. If I'm not ready now, I'm not going to be ready when it actually happens. Because you don't know when it's going to happen. The only time you can be ready is now. If you're not ready now, chances are you will never be ready at all when it actually happens. And that is a powerful way of thinking. Don't procrastinate with these sort of things. Because if you do procrastinate, basically it's not going to happen. And that becomes a powerful way of looking at it. Now is the right time to do it. Another way, which the Buddha also talked about, is to actually think of ways that you can die. Because very often we think we live in a safe environment, everything is fine, the body is working reasonably well. Well, what is the chance of dying? And once if you think like that, and it's very easy to think like that, well, start to count the number of ways that you can die. For example, if you drive, then look a little bit at the statistics of accidents on the roads. And you will see that the chances of ending up in an accident somewhere are actually quite high. Not that small at all. And you may be an extremely good driver yourself, but there's lots of really dodgy drivers out there. So you may actually end up in a difficult accident. No matter how good a driver you are, somebody else might actually run into you, a big truck or who knows what. Or if you're a pedestrian, we all walk. We obviously all walk from time to time. And of course, it can happen. That's something, suddenly somebody drives, just mows us down as we're walking alongside the road or as we're trying to cross the road. These things can always happen. We can get suddenly, you hear about people in their early 30s suddenly just collapsing and dying of a heart attack on the spot. So the point I'm making is obviously not to go around with all these morbid ideas and really being terrified of death and being stupid about it. The point is only to make it realistic, to realize that these things are possible and these things can happen, and to make this idea of death a real possibility. So I suggest is that if you find that contemplation of death is difficult, some people find it very difficult, and you find it brings up all kinds of unwholesome states, maybe fear or even anger or all kinds of things, well, maybe it is not the right way for you to do it. Or maybe you should approach it very carefully. And then you can do other things instead, maybe metta practice or whatever. But if you find that the contemplation of death is something which works for you, and it actually does clear the mind, and you don't find it fearful or frightening and anything like that, then definitely I would say do try it. Because it was recommended by the Buddha, it must be a good thing, at least as far as I'm concerned. So that is really all I want to say. So maybe we should do some meditation together, and then we can maybe do some questions afterwards if there is anything here. Okay. anybody have any questions or comments or anything? Yeah. Okay, maybe we'll just pay respect to a triple gem. Sorry, John. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Often with these things, you don't necessarily have to apply them moment by moment like that. What you often just do is just bring up the image of death, of dying in the next, whenever it is, and then just allow it to sink in. Just stay with that perception. Bring up the perception in mind and stay with it and see what it does to you. And then when something happens, or if you can actually see that it happens, it calms you down. It makes the mind more clear, and it works. Then you're doing the right thing. And then if that gets you to a stage where the mind is clear enough, you can start watching the breath or whatever. Then you move on from there to watching the breath. If it doesn't work, you try to bring up the perception again. And if you find it difficult to bring up the perception, that's when you have to change your method to reflect on, in particular, maybe on the ways that you might die, to make it more realistic. Because that's often the biggest problem, is actually to make it realistic. If it isn't realistic enough, then you're not going to be able to get the benefit of that reflection. Yeah, no, true. Of course it can. So you have to, and that's why, like all meditations, you build up certain ways of perceiving and certain ways of doing it. So that over time, you actually have a strategy, so to speak, which makes it work. You don't have to do it in sitting meditation. You can do it while you're walking, for example. Sometimes your mind may be scattered. You may not be able to sit properly. It might be a good time to just walk back and forth and reflect, well, how can I make this meditation more powerful? It doesn't always have to be peaceful and calm in the meditation practice. Sometimes you have to use a bit of discursive thinking to sort of get the process going. So I think that's certainly okay. Yes, Tom. So maybe we should all ride motorbikes. Yeah. Right. No, exactly. So that might be a skillful way of doing it. That's right. That's good. Yeah. Okay. So let's pay respects to the triple gem.